today on The Word of Truth Revealed.
If I were to ask you about life, you'll tell me what you're going through and what you don't like. But if I said, did you ever think about what you need to do to fix it? It's going to be quiet. Because we spend a lot of time talking about what happened and why we are where we are. But how much time do we spend in talking about and trying to find a solution to get out of where we are into a new spot? And if we spent half as much time to find out the solution, we won't have a full day, full week, a full year of trouble.
Celebrating 30 years of ministry, you're listening to The Word of Truth Revealed with Bishop Merton L. Clark, author, speaker, and lead pastor of Truth Revealed International Ministries, a spirit-filled fellowship of believers located in Palm Bay, Florida.
Join Bishop Clark for the message, The Glory That Follows Gratitude. Today, Bishop will be teaching from 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 7 through 10.
That's 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 7 through 10 is our text for this morning. As I continue the series entitled Cultivate or Cultivating Heart Light. Cultivating Heart Light. And please stick with the teaching. If you don't get it or you didn't get the messages from last week, I pray that you go to YouTube. Facebook keeps our messages up for at least 30 days now. And after that, it's deleted. So you have at least a month to go and listen to the word. No one should be ignorant of the scriptures today. We have technology that has helped us so much to ingest the word of God. Nobody should be ignorant of the word of God today. There's a lot of stuff out there. You just have to be selective in your cuisine. You have to say, I'm just not going to eat chitlins all the time. I'm not going to eat junk food every day. Watch this. I'm not even going to eat shrimp every day. It wouldn't be good for your cholesterol. But you need protein. And you can get spiritual protein here. This ministry is producing a good steak in the spirit, right? How do you like yours? Well, medium well, rare, well done? Okay. Well done. Amen. I'll keep it at well done. Some people like raw steak and rare. Let's do it well done or medium well. Well done. Amen. But there's a prepared. I spent time to do this, and I'd like for you to sit up straight and get this word. So let's do this work together. Amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 7 through 10, the word of the Lord reads like this. Now, if the ministry that brought death, which was engraved in letters of stone, came with glory, so that the Israelites could not look steadfastly at the face of Moses because of its glory. Transitory, though it was, will not the ministry of spirit be even more glorious? Man, I don't want to teach yet. If the ministry, verse 9, that brought condemnation was glorious, how much more, say how much more, how much more glorious is the ministry that brings righteousness? Verse 10. For what was glorious had no glory now in this comparison or in this respect with the surpassing glory. It has no respect in comparison with the surpassing glory. And if what was transitory came with glory, how much more or how much greater is the glory which lasts? I want you to put that up in the King James for me, and I want us to read verse 9 through verse 11 together. Verse 9 through verse 11. Can you see it? Can you see it? No? Okay. Talk to me, but don't sass. Can you see it? Okay. One, two, ready, read. Be careful. Wait a minute. We've got to go to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians, chapter 3, verse 9 through 11. KJV. They working with me. Amen. Are we ready? 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 9 through 11. Here we go. KJV, can the church say amen?
Amen.
We ready now, right?
Amen.
One, two, ready, read. For if the ministration... That which is done away was glorious. In other words, the law of Moses and Moses' face shining and all of the things you see in the Old Testament was glorious. How much more the glory that excels or the glory that lasts? Amen. I want to share with you as we deal with cultivating heart light, a message entitled, The Glory That Follows Gratitude. The glory that follows gratitude. And as we deal with maintaining the open portal in prayer, I believe the Lord wants me to teach that if you start becoming grateful in your prayer, prayer of gratitude, you're going to see glory excelling in your life. Lord, there's a glory that we should be experiencing now that's even greater than Moses' face shining. This one excels and it lasts. It doesn't fade. Amen. Glory to God. And I believe the Spirit will give us insight on the Word of God today. The glory that follows gratitude. Father, I thank you and we're grateful. Let's start there. We're thankful for all that you've done. Thank you for the jobs that we have. Thank you for the ministry that you're forming. Thank you for the leadership that you're cultivating. Thank you for the families that you protected. Thank you for the Q-tips and for the AC that we sometimes don't give you praise for. Thank you for allowing us to make it to church today without an accident. Thank you. In our foolishness, you still protect us. Thank you, Lord, for all that you do. Thank you for our heartbeat, our mind regulation, our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Thank you for our strength. Thank you for our peace. We're grateful, Lord, that you've brought us thus far. It was grace. We're grateful for the grace. For the oil that flows, hallelujah. For the river that flows, for the blood that covers, we're grateful. Magnify your word even now. Superimpose it over its reverse. Superimpose faith over its reverse, which is fear. Prepare us with a mind to comprehend, ears to hear, a heart to receive, and a spirit to contain this word, and we will give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. I wish I could go theologically nuclear this morning and really dive into what Paul is saying in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, which should set the church free as he speaks to the church at Corinth. And he talks to them and he challenges the church that really like to follow Moses and laws and rules and regulations, which would really speak to those of us who came out, I would say, of strict Pentecostalism about rules and regulations as if you follow them, which is good to follow them because it's all righteous, but it doesn't make you righteous. Those laws never made you righteous. All it did, it showed you how sinful you are, which should make your flesh cry out for a savior. We all need a savior, whether we act like it or not, whether we believe it or not, we all need a savior, not just to save us of our sins, but also to keep us saved and to rescue us from all bondage. Paul is challenging something here that it takes a lot of guts and fortitude, because he's saying a lot of things that we've learned to do doesn't equate to glory. He's saying in these few verses, verses 7 through verse 11 here, that the ministration of death, which when Moses came off the mountain and he had tablets in his hand, thou shalt not, and he gave it to you, the ministration of that was a ministration of death, not a ministration that would bring righteousness. It is the moral code and the other 400 laws that God gave them, laws concerning slavery and laws that concern finance and laws that concern community and social laws, moral laws, ethical laws, laws concerning marriage, laws concerning the marriage of slaves, that if a man was a slave, he had to be a slave for 7 years. If he married a woman while he was a slave, after his release, after he was set free from slavery, she was not set free. She was still the master's property. So what is the remedy? What is the lesson we should get from that? You don't get married if you're in bondage. You wait until you are free, lest you bring your spouse into the bondage. Even after you're free, she's still entangled. That's how powerful bondage is. This is why we need to read the scripture. Nobody's endorsing slavery. It's been abolished in America and around the world. But there is a law concerning it. You're not supposed to beat them until they die. You're only supposed to give them 40 lashes. Not whip them with a whip until they pass out and die. The African slave trade went way beyond scriptures. And they read it, still ignored it. When I go through it and I'm looking at the laws there, which is a ministration of death, concerning everything you could imagine. How you should weave your clothes. Wool and cotton shouldn't be mixed together. And the dietary laws and everything else. It's a ministration of death. That's why Seventh-day Adventists, if you could ever, ever capture in your spirit that Jesus is the New Testament Sabbath. And that we're not trying to follow just the laws of Moses to bring about righteousness. And those dietary laws will make you healthy in your body. But it won't bring salvation to your soul. The only one that can bring salvation to your soul is the name, the person of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. What's his name?
Jesus.
His name is Jesus. And I want to make sure theologically that we understand that. When I started preaching grace, when I first came into this city, a lot of people in church, man, had a problem with it. You're giving people a license to sin. You better preach hell. Well, I don't have to preach hell. You're already in it. I'm trying to get you out of it, and I'm trying to show you how to get out of it. A lot of us like to talk about the problem, but what about the solution? If I were to ask you about life, you'll tell me what you're going through and what you don't like. But if I said, did you ever think about what you need to do to fix it? It's going to be quiet. Because we spend a lot of time talking about what happened and why we are where we are, but how much time do we spend in talking about and trying to find a solution to get out of where we are into a new spot? And if we spent half as much time to find out the solution, we won't have a full day, full week, a full year of trouble.
If the ministry that brought death was glorious, engraved in letters of stone. I'm coming right out of the scripture. So if you doubt what I'm saying, look at it. If it was glory, it came with glory, so much so that the Israelites could not steadfastly behold the face of Moses. So when Moses came down off the mountain, he was shining because he was in the presence of the Lord. And a lot of people are still looking for that. I want my face to shine. They don't know about the glory that excels. That face shining only lasted for a while. It faded away. In other words, after a day or so, he returned to normal. Paul said that means it wasn't stable. It wasn't stationary. It's not what we should be pursuing. To have our face shine, to stand before people and people say, wow, wow moments. Things to go viral. That's what you see a lot in social media today. Somebody will say something so vile and they just want to go viral so everybody can say, wow. If my face was shining today, you would see people saying, wow, man, you've been in the presence of the Lord. By tomorrow, it'll be the same old black man. Why are we glorifying flesh like that? We got to glorify the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You didn't come to worship a person. You came to worship the person, the man, glory to God, called Christ. I'm talking about him today. I like verse 8. Will not the ministry of the Spirit be even more glorious? The ministry of the Spirit, not the ministry of death, laws, rules, and regulations. And let me just say to you, that I'm not saying we don't need laws, rules, and regulations. It's just not the method by which we find our relationship with God. Now, this would challenge most of us that came from Pentecostalism because they're not going to read this. They're just going to say, shout, get sanctified, go right or go left. Or if you go left, go to hell. What in hell do you want? And all this other stuff. Okay. But let's read this too. If you're going after righteousness through laws, rules, and regulations, and not through the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, we're missing it. I like this. For what was glorious had no glory in this respect, comparison with the surpassing glory. That's verse 10. I forgot our confession of faith. That's all right. You know it, right? As we continue our journey to cultivating heart light, in last week's message, I gave you something, and I believe the Lord really imparted to me that we should be maintaining the vitality of the soul. It was three parts to that: early service, late service, and Wednesday night. Maintaining the vitality of the soul. The soul needs to breathe. The soul needs life. Because you're breathing right now, your body is able to be sustained. You're pulling in oxygen. So what is the oxygen of your soul? Of your mind, your will, your intellect, your emotions, and your memories, your imagination. That part of you right there that is intangible, we can't see it, but it's working in you. It directs your path. It tells your body what to do. If you're lonely, it'll tell your body what to do. If you're hurting, it'll tell your body what to do. If you're offended, it'll tell your body what to do. If you want to get crunk, what is the word? Crunk, yeah. You want to get crunk, it'll tell you what to do. If you want to live righteous, you got to get some oxygen to that. If you want to be God-like, that needs to be saved. If you want to be elevated in your soul, you got to learn how to let the soul breathe life. And the life for your soul is prayer. Connecting with God. The oxygen for your soul is to connect with the one who made it. If you're not talking to him, you're suffocating. Believe me, spiritually, you want life pumped into you. I want you to think about being on a submarine, and the submarine has plummeted, about to fall off of one of those shelves. Like when you go out and see, if you're standing on the seashore, you're standing in an elevated place. Actually, everywhere you see land today, if you remove the sea, you would see that you're on the top of a mountain. Even though it may be flat, but if you understood how the world is shaped, everywhere you can stand is the top of a mountain. Right off, 30 miles off of the seashore, it plummets. Boom. 16,000 feet, several miles deep. Right. So the water covers all of that. I want you to think about being on a submarine and somehow or another it loses its thrust and it's on the second tier about to fall off of the cliff and goes 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 miles down. So we got soldiers down there. We got sailors down there. We need to save them. So you send divers down there to get them. The divers need to have oxygen. They need to have a cord, oxygen to breathe as they go down, these divers to go down to save the ones that are trapped. If any one of those lines that are connected with their suits to go down and save the others has a kink in it, oxygen starts stop flowing and that diver can be in danger. What about the ones down there that are losing oxygen? We got the worst rush right now. Something just happened in the last few days where several people were searching for gold somewhere around the world and they got trapped in a cave. Two of them they haven't found yet. They're screaming, they're knocking, they're hoping. It's dark down there and it's cold. But the divers that go down to get them have to be protected and have a flow of oxygen so they don't drown themselves. Many of us are right at the edge of falling over into the abyss, and we don't have oxygen for our souls. This message is designed to connect you with the God of your salvation so you can start praying. And finally, panting as the deer pants for the waters, so does my soul long for you. Amen. Have you ever panted for God? Or is it just your thrills? Your thrills will not satisfy that. The soul is designed to reconnect with its maker. I talked to a psychologist, a doctor in psychology, and he told me that when babies are born, after 3 days, the baby is searching for something that is human. They don't know it, but they're searching for something that is human. You can put a bib in front of it. You can put some operating utensils in front of it. You can put an iPad in front of it, and it will still stare, look around. But if you put a face of a person in front of that baby, it locks in because it's searching for something familiar. Glory to God. What if the mama's distracted? What if she's on crack? What if she's angry with father because he did her wrong and she don't want the baby no more? What is that baby searching for? And that's why a lot of time at early ages, they connect with the wrong thing. They connect with somebody that don't love them or somebody that want to molest them or somebody that don't care nothing about them. And all of a sudden, whole life has changed because they didn't get that connection when they were young. That's what your soul is looking for. Where's the one that made me? Where's the one that created me? But we put stuff in front of it, technology in front of it. We put stuff in front of it. We put education in front of it. That's not what it's looking for. It needs to see the face of its father. Can the church say amen? My God. So as we continue our journey, cultivating the heart, we discover that one of the greatest things we need to consider, the greatest ways to keep your heart illuminated, is to pray. You got to keep your heart illuminated. It's dark. We got to get light to the soul. The greatest way is to maintain a viable prayer life. Well, Bishop, I'm going through this and that. I'm telling you right now, what you're going through is connected to prayer. And the Lord is leading me this summer to deal with prayer.
to take what we did in the school of prayer and to preach it. So we won't lose momentum and go on to the next one. Bishop, I got financial problem. Pray. I got relationship problem. Pray. I got issues going on in my body. Pray. I don't like my job. Pray. Touch your neighbor and say pray. Yeah. It's time to pray. You've been talking too long. Same old, same old. Pray. Glory to God. Great is thy faithfulness, O God. And gratitude is more than just a response to what he's done. Thank you, Jesus. I believe God wants me to cultivate that gratitude. I believe he wants me to teach on being grateful in your heart and soul. The glory that excels actually follows gratitude for where you are in Jesus. Ah, man, what a powerful statement. The glory that excels follows how grateful you are.
Thanks for joining us for the Word of Truth Revealed. If you were blessed by today's message, we would love to hear from you. You can email us at thewordoftruth@truthrevealed.org. For a replay of today's message, The Glory That Follows Gratitude, visit the media section on the Truth Revealed app or our website at www.truthrevealed.org.
Registration is open for VBS 2026, The Joshua Generation, taking place on Monday, July 20th to Friday, July 24th for children in grades 2 through 6. Register and purchase your t-shirt through the TR mobile app or scan the QR code in the foyer. For more information, email vbs@truthreveal.org. Don't miss this exciting week of faith, fun, and learning. Attention, new believers. Registration is open for the Believers Enrichment Spiritual Training Best Class. Sign up today using the TR app, website, or by scanning the QR code in the foyer. Classes will begin soon, so reserve your spot now. Email best@truthreveal.org for more information.
Again, thank you for joining us and have a blessed day.